How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are here after the Celtics' very 14-106 loss to the Toronto Raptors. Huskies, or I suppose, considering their uniforms tonight. The Celtics just collapsing in the fourth quarter. Actually, 34 points in the third and fourth quarters. Blowing what was a 9-point lead with a little more than 6 minutes to go. DeRozan went just completely bonkers. We are here to talk about it. John Corrales, Sam Packard, Wild J King, the media room at in Toronto. So I guess the lesson here, and we can forget that, yeah, Avery wasn't there, and maybe in a 8-point loss, Avery Bradley would have made a difference. It's possible. Maybe he would have calmed the Celtics down. It's possible. But you know what? The Celtics just completely collapsed. They completely failed to execute. DeMar DeRozan went completely out of his mind. The Celtics just right now are not as good as the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, and DeMar DeRozan put on a clinic, but it wasn't really that I was concerned about as a Celtics fan, because it feels like that's kind of what DeMar DeRozan does, and it's going to be really difficult to stop that unless you're just throwing constant double teams at him, which is not really something you're going to want to do. It really exposes you on the rebounding front. It was the problem with scoring 6 points in the final 6 minutes. It kind of felt like the entire team just kind of turned around, threw the ball to Isaiah, and said, go score. And as amazing as Isaiah has been the past month or two, if the defense knows that that's exactly what's going to happen, they're going to be meeting him basically right at the rim every single time, and it's going to be very difficult for the Celtics to score points. So what they did in the first three quarters, which was a lot of side-to-side ball movement, a lot of kind of swinging the ball, it just kind of turned into the let's watch Isaiah Thomas go save us, and it didn't work this time. And it's worked a lot in the past, and it's kind of that's the way they've won some games. But against the Toronto Raptors, when they really turned up their kind of defensive aggressiveness and intensity, it didn't work tonight. And just scoring 6 points in 6 minutes when you have the lead is atrocious. It's just not acceptable. And you can say, yeah, maybe Avery Bradley would have helped because he is the second most consistent shooter or scorer, but really just the offense in that final 6 minutes was pretty atrocious.
I feel like this is not something we've said of the Celtics for a lot of this season. I feel like they panicked in the fourth quarter. It looked very panicky to me. Now, Al Horford had that up and down travel, which when does he ever jump up and then land before making a decision? That's not an Al Horford thing to do. Isaiah Thomas got blocked three separate times, twice by Valanciunas at the rim, and then once by Lowry trying to take a desperation three. They were just fumbling things. There was the one play, Olynyk, and I tweeted about it. Olynyk
was waiting to do to give Isaiah the ball and not looking at the rest of the floor at all. And Isaiah ended up getting a handoff that was up almost at half court, and he forced the shot. It was beyond Isaiah being a fourth quarter hero. It was the most ridiculous type of hero ball we saw. And like you said, very indicative of the Celtics saying, please, Isaiah, bail us out. They've had no other offense in the fourth quarters lately. It's been so awesome for Isaiah to do what he's done in the fourth quarter. I think for a spell here tonight against a really good team, they didn't know what else to do. They didn't have any other offense to lean on. They were just like, oh, shit, Isaiah, here, go. You can't rely on that all the time. And like you said, if all you have is Isaiah, go try to drive and score, that becomes very predictable. When Isaiah has options that spread the floor and forces the defense to do other things, that's when he gets to the rim. That's when he does what he does. But let's look at the fourth quarter numbers. In the fourth quarter, Isaiah Thomas, he went to the line four times, but how many times in fourth quarters has he gone to the line? 8, 9, 10 times. When he's had the big fourth quarter scoring outbursts, he gets to the line a lot. He took 4 3-pointers. He only hit one. He was 2 of 8 from the field in the fourth quarter, and the team as a whole was 8 of 22. So no one did anything.
Yeah, it is that play you talked about where he just forced that three is kind of indicative of their entire offensive strategy. And it's just, it's frustrating because we saw a lot of good things in this game on the offensive end, especially in that second quarter where Marcus Smart was playing out of his mind in the pick and roll. And it kind of goes back to this debate of what do you do with Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas. Thomas was Smart was first just doing like making a lot of great decisions in the pick and roll and really setting people up. And Thomas was playing well off the ball. It seems like in the fourth quarter they definitely get away from that, and it just becomes kind of Isaiah bail us out right now. And it's not kind of the team basketball that you want them to be playing and that they were successful with earlier in the game. So I don't know if the solution is kind of trying Isaiah off ball, maybe having Marcus Smart be the playmaker. But I don't want to say this is a wake-up call for the Celtics, because I think they played a pretty good basketball game. They collapsed in the end, but they like held tough with the second-best team or in the Eastern Conference. But it's indicative of what playoff basketball is going to be like. So it was kind of good for the Celtics to get a taste of that, but they're going to have to adjust to kind of that slowed down version of basketball if they're going to want to succeed, especially in May and June.
Yeah, I saw Toronto blitzing Isaiah a lot and playing a lot of the same defense that I saw Atlanta play in the playoffs last year, where Isaiah was not only getting double teamed, but being forced to give the ball up. He was being pushed way out to like the hash mark. So for Isaiah, that's when you need other people to step up. That's when Al Horford has to become your second option. And again, maybe with Avery Bradley out there as opposed to Gerald Green. But Gerald Green did okay offensively, but Bradley brings a different dynamic. Maybe that just changes enough, but I don't think that's really the excuse. It's just there was no composure for the Celtics. And maybe this is a wake-up call. Maybe this is the opportunity for them to look at the film and see when they moved too fast, when they made decisions that were just, like I said before, panicked. The good teams, when the shit is hitting the fan, when DeMar DeRozan is scoring 31 points in the second half and 12 in the fourth quarter, when you just have to calm down and slowly run your offense. Look at a team like the Spurs, which is like the epitome of a winner. Every team goes on a run, but the Spurs will just sit there and just kind of take it and answer. And they'll just calmly run what they run and get a shot. And whoever gets that shot, you just, as long as it's a good shot within the flow of the offense. Like, Jay Crowder took a three with 20 seconds on the shot clock. It was, now, I don't mind Jay Crowder taking an open three, but in that situation, the Celtics were trying to hold on to a lead. Work the offense. See if you can get to the rim in that situation. I know the Celtics are a three-point shooting team. We have talked about how great their three-point shooting has been. But Tommy Heinsohn, who is an innovator and one of the first people to play the small ball type of thing, he is great at understanding when you go to the rim and when you can shoot your jump shots. When you're up six in the fourth quarter and you're trying to hold off a team that's charging, when you get to the rim, that's when you try to find a way to get an easy 2 points, maybe draw a foul, slow them down, kill their momentum. That's when the Celtics should be running that kind of offense and not their usual three-point chucking, which, again, I'm all for the three-point shots, and I'm all for the first open three-point shots in certain situations. But that situation called for a shot at the rim or some sort of attack, something that would have forced the defense to make a decision. And if you draw fouls and put them in the bonus, you can start padding your lead with some free throws. That's where the Celtics are not right now. The Celtics do not have the composure and the ability to hold off a charging team and change their offense just enough to make that sort of decision and get to the rim and score the easy buckets that way. So, and that's part of their evolution. That's next.
One of the frustrating parts is that they were doing exactly that, taking it to the rim in the second quarter. I think our good friend Jay tweeted out that they had 9 layups in that quarter where they scored 37 points and only attempted 2 threes. So the quarter when they were playing their best, they were really attacking the rim. And I don't think the solution is abandoning the three-point shot, especially because they've been shooting it very well recently. But attacking the rim, playing kind of inside-out basketball, penetrating, then to kick out to that three, is how the Celtics made their offense. And I think one of the facts or reasons why they were kind of went cold tonight is just they didn't hit many of their threes when they could have. They only were 9 for 27, so that's a drastically lower number after weeks of in the high teens. So that's another reason why their scoring was down, but I think you're right. They have to attack the basketball, attack the hoop. One thing I wanted to bring up was kind of Brad Stevens' rotations to end the game, especially with regards to rebounding. We did not see Amir Johnson. He only played 6 minutes tonight, and with the starters, it was Kelly Olynyk and then actually Gerald Green down the stretch, and we saw consistently the Celtics getting beat on the boards. And I know you want to put shooters around Isaiah. But that only works if he's going to actually pass the ball to them and so they can shoot. I guess it hypothetically opens up the floor, but if you're going to get beat on the boards that much, after what I thought Amir Johnson had a pretty good first half and has been playing well recently, I don't know. This has kind of been a pattern with Amir Johnson for his entire Celtics career, where he only ends up playing about 20 minutes a night and rarely plays down the stretch. But if you think he's good enough to start games and to play in the first half, I don't understand why he's not someone you can kind of rely on late in games.
Well, I think he got foul trouble at one point, and he was having some real trouble covering Valanciunas. So that might have played into it. I agree. And look, Valanciunas had a monster game. He had 18 points, 23 rebounds, and a couple of blocks,
rebounds, which is absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had a huge game. That's been a problem for the Celtics, and that's something they need to address. They and just a little slight tangent. That's something they'll need to address at some point, maybe this summer. They're not going to do anything, guys, to address that now. They're just going to deal with that now. They're going to have to figure it out. Amir, maybe Brad Stevens does play Amir more. Or maybe he just realized that Amir Johnson is just not going to get the job done. Not that Kelly Olynyk did any great job on Valanciunas. He couldn't cover him at all. So the rebounding was a big, big issue. And look, even DeRozan had 13 rebounds. So rebounding still an issue for the Celtics. I don't know. I think Amir, at some he could have helped on one end, but the Celtics, like you said, they scored 6 points in the final 6 minutes of the game. So Amir Johnson's not going to help that. They needed somebody out there to hit shots, and no one was doing it. So yeah, and you know what? Some criticism goes to Isaiah Thomas. He'll be immune from some of that because he's been so great lately. So I'm not going to crush the guy for trying to do what he's been doing. But I think if you go back and you look at this game film and they study this, they'll see that you need to run a calmer offense, a full offense that utilizes 10 to 15 seconds of the shot clock, that attempts to get to the rim. And at the very least, if you don't get to the rim, you've forced the defense to rotate, and now you can kick it out to your shooters. Now, the Celtics offense was getting a little desperate. Brad was getting a little bit desperate, and Gerald Green had hit a few shots. So he was out there. I mean, he had 14 points on the night. And at that point, I think you give up the ability to take a Valanciunas off the boards in an attempt to just kind of trade baskets with them.
Well, I got let me interrupt you right there. I got some breaking news tweeted out by Mark D'Amico saying Amir Johnson's hobbling around the Celtics locker room. Not sure if it's a legit limp or not, but it sure looks legit and painful. So there's our answer for maybe why Amir Johnson didn't play down the stretch and wasn't able to go back in the game and D up Valanciunas. But yeah, I don't think you can blame Isaiah for this one. It feels like a team execution type thing, and it's a situation where I would argue they're missing Avery Bradley, just because that's one of the set plays you like least can imagine in your brain is Avery Bradley coming off a curl and just hitting like a 18 to 20 foot jumper. Like that's something that it feels like the Celtics could get pretty reasonably, but without him in the game, it's pretty much Isaiah or Al Horford on a pick and pop, or they have to do complete ball movement, motion offense. But when the kind of it slows down and becomes half court, they really, at least in this game, just relied on solely Isaiah, and it didn't work out tonight. And you know what? It happens. They got to move on. They got a tough Wizards team who's playing very well coming in tomorrow. So there's going to be a lot of meltdowns on Celtics Twitter right now. I'm seeing it now. People are demanding for trades, talking about how Isaiah's not a player.
Right.
You know what? It's one game. They played very well for 42 minutes. They're going to have to keep getting better. Brad Stevens said it before the game. If you start off there, if they're the same team they are now in playoffs time, they're going to be terrible. So they have to keep getting better and keep improving. So this is going to be something they're working on, but it's frustrating because they had the lead and they let it go, but they played a very, very good Raptors team. So it's no reason to really hang their heads. It's just something from and move forward.
No, I think if the Celtics had played a game where they didn't have the lead that they had and lost by this same final score, like I said yesterday, I would have been okay with a tough loss, a tight loss, a well-played game. The problem is they had that lead, 9 points with six nineteen to go in the game, and they blew it. And yeah, but it's the way that
they had that lead with 6 minutes. So if they can tweak those things, they should be very good.
Sure.
Moving forward. The fact they were
of course
in that position and playing great basketball, especially in that second quarter against the Raptors. So Yes, they blew it, but there's things that need to tweak, but there's no reason to kind of melt down or blow things up.
I wholeheartedly agree that I think the lesson from this game is that as of right now on January 11th, when people are listening to this show, the Celtics are not as good as the Toronto Raptors. We thought that there were three levels in the East: the Cavs level one, Toronto and the Celtics level two, and everyone else level three. Well, I think it's four levels at this point, and that may change as we get into February and March. But Cleveland is obviously number one. I think Toronto is at this point obviously number two. And the Celtics are obviously number three, and then there's everybody else. Against everybody else, the Celtics have been pretty damn good. The Celtics can't beat the Raptors right now. And look, they've got – not only do they have a good overall team, they get DeRozan and Lowry and Valanciunas, who is I think he's a pretty good player. Not a great player, but he's still a pretty good player. And matchup-wise, it kills the Celtics. So – and they've – got some pretty nice pieces off the bench. They're not bad. That kid, what's his name? Nogueira is, you know, he's a pretty good young player that helped them a lot in stretches. There was a 5-minute stretch or 6-minute stretch. He was just killing the Celtics on alley-oops. So they are the second best team in the East. Without a doubt, it's not that the Celtics are challenging them right now. The Celtics are not challenging them right now. But it's not to say that they can't. And it's not to say that they won't eventually meet in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Who knows? Who knows? A lot can change. There's a lot of growth. It's, excuse me, like the scientific approach. A lot of times scientists like experiments that fail as much as they like experiments that succeed, because the failures teach them what not to do again. And this is an opportunity for the Celtics to understand how to play down the stretch against a good team and really, honestly, slow down. Just slow down and execute. It's a simple thing. It's not easy to do. It's easier said than done. But slow it down. Run your offense. My college coach, I loved – I never forgot this. As soon as he told it to me, it always clicked, and I'll always remember it. Slow down to speed up, because when you move too fast, you make mistakes, and you have to go back and correct your mistakes, and it ultimately slows you down. But if you slow it down just a tick, and you'll execute perfectly, and you'll actually get things done faster. So if you slow down a little bit, you speed up. And that's what the Celtics needed to do over the last 6 minutes. They needed to slow down to speed up so they can execute their offense and run through things and get better shots. And it doesn't always have to be Isaiah. It could always be Isaiah. You don't know. But if you slow it down and you run through your options, you get the best shot at it. It's almost like the Patriots and Tom Brady when he's in the pocket. No panic, no nothing. Everything could be collapsing around him. He just steps up a little bit. He waits. He gets that opportunity. He finds the right receiver. That's kind of what the Celtics need to do. A couple of tweets here with the hashtag RainandJays from Alex at Straight No Chaser. There's a bunch of underscores and there's a number in there. You'll figure it out. He knows who he is. The Valanciunas game is more proof that the Celtics need size, or at least send Amir to Germany so he plays 38 in the game in April. Need one of those.
The old Kobe Bryant
surgery. That platelet-rich plasma therapy. So, but he does know on the bright side, the Nets lost tonight, so still a league worst, 8-29. Daniel Reifler at Reifsey, this is how other teams feel watching Isaiah Thomas in the fourth. Damn DeRozan. It's almost like that damn Daniel.
It was like damn Daniel. It was damn DeRozan. There's just some plays where, especially that one play against Crowder where he went high off the glass, was just – you just have to sit back and give him a nice little golf clap for that one. It's just impressive. Like he's professional 2-point basket maker. He's not gonna extend his game to three, but within that 3-point line, that guy gets buckets. And I mean, You guys just got to tip your cap.
Good basketball is good basketball, and he plays good basketball, man. He just really is really good at the game. He's just really good at the game. You don't have to be a three-point shooter to be good at the game. He is just amazing. He's just amazing. You know, what can you say? I mean, he was a killer. He was a stone killer. And I want to note, at Jonathan T. Rizzo, who just says, looking forward to your take on this game. What did we excel at tonight, and how would the final be with Bradley? Hard to say. What I mean, Avery Bradley, like I said, could have been a calming influence. He could have made some defensive plays. He could have hit a couple of those shots that you were talking about, those curls, maybe some of those backdoor cuts, a three that was, you know, one of his corner threes, something like that. The Celtics very well could have won if Avery Bradley was there. He's been around long enough. I think he's the type of guy who can calmly slow things down. So, yeah, it's possible. You can make the argument that the Celtics could have and maybe would have won tonight without Avery Bradley, but I don't think so. Just because of the way the entire team, again, I'm going to use the word panicked. It just, that's how it felt. It felt like they panicked down the stretch, and that's fine. You can do that in January. Now you have to realize that you did it, correct it, and move forward. And then hopefully when April and May rolls around, you're not panicking in those situations.
Yeah, and I think that the first part of his question is, what did the Celtics do well tonight? Their defensive intensity, especially in the first half and early in the third quarter, was excellent. I mean, how many times did Marcus Smart get his hands on the ball, or Jay Crowder get some steals? They really stepped up, and that's kind of been a point of emphasis, especially for the Celtics recently. It definitely broke down later in the game, but you could say Amir Johnson was injured and then just DeMar DeRozan went off. But I think it was a decent sign to see them just kind of step up on the defensive end of the court. And then two other plays really stood out to me. Where the hell has Gerald Green been hiding this jumping ability for the past 4 months? That alley-oop was pretty impressive. That made me jump out of my seat. I didn't know he could still do that.
Is that his first alley-oop of the season?
It's the only one I can
remember. I can't remember another alley-oop.
It was exciting. He got to be in the slam. I think him and Jaylen Brown together should combine to be in the slam dunk contest.
Oh, maybe they could do like some sort of like those that stuff that those guys do off the trampolines.
Yeah, with an ode, there's got to be an ode to D. Brown in there by Jaylen Brown.
Oh, of course, of course. Bust out the old Reebok pumps. I'm in on that.
Oh yeah. And then the other play was the Isaiah three-point.
That was insane. That was amazing.
Apparently Cedric Maxwell, who for my money is the most entertaining man in Boston, after that said, "Give the man an ice cream sandwich."
That's awesome.
If you guys ever need just a good entertaining time, just turn down the television and turn up Cedric Maxwell, because he's a gem. Yep. He's a true gem.
He really is. He really is good. I love Cedric Maxwell. He's great. All right. I think that's enough. I wanted to talk about Jay Crowder's struggles. I'm going to give him a chance to make up for it tomorrow. I don't want to get into it. I've been coughing throughout this whole show. I apologize, guys. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to shake this thing. And I'm trying to burn it out of my throat with the whiskey, and that's not happening. So might as well end the show now. Again, the Celtics drop a tough one to the Toronto Raptors. They lose 114-106, blowing a 9-point mid-fourth quarter lead. DeMar DeRozan out of his mind with a 41-point game. Huge fourth quarter with 12 points in the fourth. And I think he had 31 overall. 31 of his points came in the second half. So the Celtics still can't beat the Raptors. We'll have to see if they can learn from this. They've got the Wizards next. That'll be a tough one. Sam and I will be back to talk about that game tomorrow night. And hopefully we'll have a much more positive, upbeat thing. Thanks for using the hashtag RainandJays on Twitter. Thanks for tweeting us your comments. Keep doing that. We'll start using them a lot more. Listen to us. Rate us 5 stars. At least for both of us playing hurt tonight. Talking and podcasting sick. Come on, that's worth 5 stars. We're doing this for you guys. And thanks for listening. Thanks for checking out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Rain and Jays Podcast. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.